Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 632 creates the State Capitol State Park, consisting of the grounds contiguous to the State Capitol and the grounds surrounding the state buildings on the Capitol Mall. Those buildings are the Transportation Building, State Library, Labor and Industries Building, and Public Service Building. And the bill also transfers maintenance responsibilities of the newly created park to the Department of Parks and Recreation. Currently, the Department of Administrative Services is responsible for maintenance of the existing grounds. The bill also requires the Department of Administrative Services to construct one or more permanent lavatories on the grounds of the State Capitol Park. We have an amendment to put money in the Parks Department budget from lottery funds to pay for their folks operating and maintaining the State Capitol State Park and disappropriating money from the Department of Administrative Services.
Mary Gold, we just opened a board session on 632. Mr. Chair.
And Senator Metzger, have you said anything yet?
No.
Okay, why don't you come forward, Senator. Please identify yourself for the record. Very good to see you this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26. I'll be brief. I just wanted to come this morning and thank you for the consideration of Senate Bill 632. I sat on the committee, the Legislative Reform Committee, that moved this bill unanimously with Senator Courtney, Senator Atkinson, Senator Avakian et al. And I drafted the amendments that created the state park part. So I think just a couple things that are really, really important about this is whether you talk about the Capitol building or the grounds on the Capitol or this entire area, and Senator Avakian can wax eloquent about that, this is the people's number one place. And we talk about the wings of the building and other things that need to be done. It is really, really critical that that the people's place and their grounds really get the treatment they need. And you see, if there's never ever been a better state park, it definitely is the state capitol. You can see that now with the nice weather and the hundreds of people literally out there using the fountains and the areas around here. And it's been shameful to have porta potties on our state capitol grounds. And if you walk on many of the walkways where the cement has been broken so badly, I could guarantee you if you're in the city of Portland, they would come out and they would cite you and tell you to fix those and send you the bill to do that. And yet we continue to have those problems here. I think it's very, very appropriate. States across the country have named not only their state grounds but their capitals themselves, including just to the north of the state of Washington, recognizing that this is the people's place, and they need to understand that. I think that the biggest shining example is the federal government, the National Mall, where you've all been and gone to the museums and wonder why they're all free, because it is a national park. And so at least taking this small step and naming our grounds a state park, certainly with the resources to do that, see if we can't even afford the lights of the building. And
that was Jeremy from the Department of Energy.
but anyway, this was and with the resources to do that, I think it sends a real strong signal to the people of Oregon that this is not only their capital, but these beautiful grounds are theirs, and we want them to enjoy them, and we want them up to standard. And again, this was unanimous out of our Legislative Reform Committee that Senator Bakken served on, and appreciate your consideration, Mr. Chair.
Any questions for Senator Metzger?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. And so I'm trying to understand exactly what the problem is that we're trying to solve here with this bill. Is it simply because of the porta potties?
It's not just a problem. It's also a statement, Representative. It's a statement to the people that this is their grounds. This is their place, and they can come and you recognize, it's a state park. You know, we're telling the people that this is your place, not just this building, but this whole area is yours, and come and enjoy that and be part of the history of the state. So I think that's the first part. The second part is, in terms of the maintenance of the grounds, we think state parks is best suited for that, and they certainly have, much more ample resources than we ever anticipated that the state parks would have. And so they're well suited to take over that job and make sure that this is up to the standard that our citizens expect, and have the expertise to do that.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions?
Thanks.
It isn't. You know, it isn't.
Yes. Mr. Chair.
It isn't an additional answer to the good senator.
We don't need Schrader.
It isn't just about, you know, the grounds. There's buckled sidewalks. There's...
Can we, we're on record, so here, go ahead.
I'm just testifying.
Okay, yeah. Okay? Yes.
There's the dumpster, the old rusted dumpster that's been out here forever. Not at any fault by the building maintenance staff. They just don't have a budget or the manpower to get the bigger projects done that need to be done, like the buckled sidewalks. So I think part of this effort, and I'm not a sponsor of the thing, but from what I understood in the testimony and the other hearing we had, part of the effort is to find a bigger agency or department that can handle the bigger projects that need, that aren't just the mowing of the lawns. And that was the thing that led them to the parks.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I could follow up, I mean, the comment earlier was that State Park and Rec is more capable and have the resources to do it. Well, then why are we transferring to the State Parks and Recreation Department those employees engaged primarily in the exercise of the duties, functions, and powers transferred by Section 6 of this Act? So we're giving them the records. We're giving them the employees. We're giving them the money. Oh, and then I see here that the governor shall resolve any dispute between DAS and the Parks and Rec Department. I'm sorry. This is not making much sense to me. I mean, we can declare this the People's State Park with a resolution. We don't have to be transferring resources from one department to another to affect something like that. I mean, I'm
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
With all due respect to my colleague from Beaverton, the good senator from Beaverton, I have some heartburn about using Measure 66 money for this purpose. And I worked on Measure 66 when it passed in 1998, and primary purpose for Measure 66 money, state parks, acquisition, salmon and watershed restoration, and I have a lot of respect for Capitol Grounds and for this building, but I believe that it's our responsibility as legislators to find the money within our budget, and therefore I'll be no vote on this.
Let's see. We will recess for a brief period here.
Mr. Chair?
We may need one more. discussion on Senate Bill 632. Representative Nathanson, will you move the dash threes?
I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 632.
Okay. The dash three amendments have been moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, will you call the roll on the dash three amendments? Sorry, there's a little notice.
Representative Klim.
Aye.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Nathanson.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Avakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Do we have a motion on the main bill to send it to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended?
I move that we send Senate Bill 632 with a due pass recommendation as amended.
You've moved 632 to A as amended to the full committee with
Correct.
A due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion? Yes, Representative
Mr. Chair, I was just concerned that Representative Dingfelter has suddenly disappeared.
I tied her up in the hallway. She'll be back for climate change.
She has fell ill, and she's Dr. Bates is attending to her, and she will have an amazing recovery here in just a few moments.
Thank you very much. Lots of memory.
Okay.
You're an astute observer of the project.
Seeing none, no additional discussion, will you call the roll on the main motion?
Representative Klim.
Aye.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Nathanson.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Avakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes.
Senator Devlin, you might have carried this to the full, and Senator Courtney probably would carry it to the...
Yes, you can carry it. Yes, Senator Nelson, thank you for that.
Give it to Atkinson.
Atkinson or whoever wants
yeah.
to.
Senator Nelson, will you carry 632 to the full?
Okay.
And will you carry it, what Senator Atkinson will carry to the floor?
Yeah.
Should it ever get there? and
give it to Garrard on our side.
Representative Klim will carry to the House floor.
Great, thank you,
Representative Klim. Representative Klim,
voting for it.
I served three terms in the House. I never lost a bill on the House floor, including the baseball bill.
Let's
see what I can do.
He's up to it.
He was in the majority then.
She can cooperate.
Close that work session. Motion passed. Okay. We will go to. I will open a work session on 3543. Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, you have at your place a packet with a copy of House Bill 3543. A copy of the Dash 88 amendments, which is the funding mechanism for the bill that would add $180,000 general fund for the Climate Change Research Institute. This money comes from the Department of Higher Education's budget bill, Senate Bill 5515, which were reduced by a like amount of $180,000. Making the bill essentially budget neutral. You have a copy of our fiscal impact statements. And a copy of the original SMS on the A engrossed bill. And at this point, the Dash A8 amendments are the only amendments approved for consideration by both co-chairs.
So glad to see you feeling better.
Very important.
It's a quick-moving virus, though.
Oh, are we having? Are you under a call?
Yes, we are. No. Oh. But they're ringing the bell. So I just have to make sure that we were fine.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do these amendments line this bill up with the requirements that are, I guess, prevalent now in Washington State or in the law in Washington State as far as dealing with food processors, dealing with other industries? Are those amendments not accepted?
Maybe it might be best to have one of the two main people who have been working on this bill to comment also.
Has.
Yeah.
The A7s are essentially the issue that was testified to around while we work in the rest of the bill on combating global warming, knowing we are just one state, we should also be working on adaptation to conserve water and other matters that might be related to, you know, dealing with global warming while we're trying to fight it simultaneously, and that's what the A7s do. What they take out from the earlier conversation was the sort of moving around of goals. We decided it wasn't worth battling over, so this is a compromise amendment, basically.
Mr. Chair, as I mentioned during when this was brought up during the public hearing, the language here is. The language in the bill is very, very broad, and basically we had discussions in my policy committee about, okay, now I don't have to ask you, in our policy committee about keeping the direction very broad. So the existing bill does not preclude the discussion of adaptation. It just isn't limited to what is presented here. So in regards to Washington, that is the goal. That has nothing to do with this language here. So in other words, the existing bill does not preclude any discussion. What the bill says, and as a chief co-sponsor, and this is a policy issue, not a funding issue, just want to make clear, is that we are saying to the commission, you go and look at what are the major issues that need to be dealt with, and if adaptation is one of them, then they will come and say that this is an important issue. So we're asking the experts to go look at what are the key issues with reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So I don't feel it's necessary because the way the bill is written, it's broad enough, it doesn't preclude looking at this as an issue. We've kept it specifically broad.
I just knew that there were some concerns raised about that, and mm-hmm. I just want to make sure for the record that we are addressing those concerns because this affects not only the conservation community, but it affects the industry, it affects the people, it affects everybody. So I just want to make sure that it's...
And I will refer to page 5 of the bill, section 10, subsection 1. I mean, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but for the record, maybe I should. In furtherance of the greenhouse gas emission reduction goals established by Section 2 of this Act, the Oregon Global Warming Commission may recommend statutory and administrative changes, policy measures, and other recommendations to be carried out by state and local governments, businesses, nonprofit organizations, or residents. In developing its recommendations, the Commission shall consider economic, environmental health and social costs, and the risks and benefit of alternative strategies, including least cost options. The Commission shall solicit and consider public comment related to statutory, administrative, or policy recommendations.
Mr. Chair? Yes. Thank you. Now, we just were handed A3s. So we have 3s, 7s, and 8s. What's part of A?
Okay. You have three amendments that are before you. A3, A7, and in your packet, you have A8. I will indicate that the A8s is the only amendment that has been approved by both co-chairs to run. Just for the record, I will be voting against all amendments except for the A8.
Mr. Chair, I understand on the A7s you're not going to be voting for them for the reason you listed. I appreciate that. I also want to thank those at DSO for clarifying for the record that even if the A7s fail, this can still be talked about. My issue is if there had been enough time in the session, the matters related to agriculture would have been nice to have had this bill in the Agriculture Committee. That didn't happen. This is my opportunity to... talk about the effects on agriculture of global warming. So we need to combat global warming to help agriculture, and we need to adapt to it while we fight it, and other places either do or don't, because it is going to, we can't stop it on our own, and I'd like to adapt. So that's why I'd like to move the A7s on an uncertain outcome situation.
Representative Clem, thank you for your comments, and The bill was in the environmental, the Environment and Energy Committee, and we did have extended discussions about the impact on forestry and agriculture. And actually, Representative Burley brought up, since there is extensive discussion about the impacts in agriculture on here, the question did arise about why isn't there also extensive discussion about forestry? That's actually the other amendment that's in front of you. But there was a lot of discussion about the impacts in agriculture. And that is one aspect of this bill. There, you know, basically, the commission will be looking at the effects of all industry, including agriculture, including forestry, including food processing. I mean, you know, it's basically saying, look at the broad spectrum of impacts on Oregon's economic viability.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
When this was in the Energy and Environment Committee, I voted no on it because at that time I said I would reconsider my vote if we got some amendments in there specifically with respect to forestry, because the Oregon Department of Forestry did testify and they had some very specific recommendations for amendments. As Representative Dinkelder pointed out, this is obviously an issue that is far greater than the simple state of Oregon here, and as this is debated in Congress and other states, forestry and its role in climate change and sequestration and all that is still evolving. And frankly, the simple fact that the two co-chairs have made some decision for some unknown reason, and neither one of them are here to explain why that is, I'm very baffled by the fact that they won't agree to what I think are some rather simple amendments to A3 and A7. The fact that that's not going to be the case today, then I will remain a no on this bill, and we'll oppose it when it comes to the House floor as well. And hopefully we'll get an explanation at some point from the co-chairs on why these two amendments are unacceptable.
Thank you, Representative Burley. I would ask that no one take the comment that I'm going to make negatively. But I think one of the problems that we're having is, the A3s are dated 6-6, and the A7s are dated 6-11. And it's June 21st now. And, had these been submitted back then, I think there might have been a chance at least to be honest with the A3s, because I know of no one that actually opposes the A3s. The A8s, which are the amendment that's actually in here that they've approved, is dated literally today, I believe.
Yesterday.
This is something I have actually sought for a long time, which the alternative was basically potentially was to put this requirement on Oregon State University and not fund it. And that's basically what that amendment does, is funds the requirement that's put on Oregon State University. And it is, in effect, a fiscal amendment is what it is. It's not a policy amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, clarification. What is a fiscal amendment?
Oh, it's to provide $180,000.
The A8 is.
The A8.
I'm sorry, I didn't know which one you were referring to. Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion here that we adopt the A3 amendments.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just for one second, I would just like to comment about the co-chairs. I think my instructions were the co-chairs are very concerned about timing of bills right now and paperwork flow. And so I think their real concern was just when we adopt two separate amendments in subcommittee, we have to get a combined amendment from LC before it can go to full. And that takes some time. So I think they were just concerned, not about the substance, just about timing of workflow. And I would imagine if the subcommittee were willing to take the risk that the bill might be slowed down some, I don't imagine there would be a lot of opposition on the part of the co-chairs. We would find out before full, probably, because if there was, you'd probably have to reconsider the bill and take the amendment back out. But it certainly could be you could try to adopt the amendment, and we'll work as quickly as we can to get a combined amendment so the bill can get on full as soon as possible.
And Mr. Chair,
yeah.
For the record, I would like to say that Representative Burley did and I did talk about these amendments. We ran out of time in our policy committee, although if I'd known it was going to sit in Ways and Means for 2 months, I probably would have pulled the bill back to my committee. And I also just want to say that the A7s, as I mentioned during the public hearing, there was no amendment brought forward during or any discussion of this during the public testimony in the policy committee. So I just want to be clear for the record that the A3s, the Department of Forestry did bring it forward, and the only reason we didn't adopt it is mainly because we were keeping in our timeline with our committee schedule. So I just want to be clear for the record.
One thing I would state for the record also, and I'm not going to try to belabor this point, is that my understanding is that this may be the last day that this subcommittee is in existence this session, although there could be a possibility that we have another bill coming. But my understanding is Friday and Saturday might be the last days for the full committee.
How long does it take to get a combined amendment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dingfelder, I would imagine LLC will work as quickly as possible to get a combined amendment. Again, we'll do the best we can. Okay. I can make no promises.
I will be happy to assist them in any way I can as well.
Okay, with that, any additional, Representative Flynn?
We have a motion on the floor, right?
We have a motion on the floor on A3s, and then we can go to the A7s.
Yeah, I would like to support these amendments, and I'm going to. And the reason is, it's not a partisan issue. I don't want it to become one. This is really important stuff, and I probably am going to be called into both co-chair's office myself here in a moment, but... You know, I am happy to do that because I really don't want a big floor battle over such a good bill.
They will all go to the co-chair's office.
Okay. Can you call the roll on the A3s?
Certainly. Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Burley?
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
Yes.
Representative Nathanson?
No.
Representative Dingfelder?
Aye.
Senator Vakian?
No.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
No. Motion fails. Representative Clem, do you want to offer the A7s?
Please. Mr. Chair, I put the A7 on this.
Roll call.
Okay. Any additional discussion on the A7s? Call the roll.
Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Burley?
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
Yes.
Representative Nathanson?
No.
Representative Dingfelder?
No.
Senator Vakian?
No.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Chair Devlin?
No. Motion fails. Do we have a motion on the main? Now I need a motion on the A8s. The A8s.
I will move adoption of the dash A8s to House Bill 3543.
Okay. Any discussion of the A8s? Were you able to give a brief explanation of the A8s before?
Yes.
Okay.
But I can go over the A8s. Simply provide $180,000 general fund to fund the research institute. The $180,000 of general fund comes from the main budget bill for the Department of Higher Education, which is Senate Bill 5515.
And I might point out that in the fiscal, it is actually also assumed to roll up in the 09 biennium. Okay. Would you call the roll on the A8s?
Representative Clem.
Yes.
Representative Burley?
No.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Nathanson?
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder?
Yes.
Senator Vakian?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Main motion to the full House Bill 3543A as amended.
Representative Clem?
I just ask for the...
Mr. Chair, I will make the motion to House Bill 3543 with a due pass recommendation as amended with the dash A.
Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Burley?
No.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Nathanson?
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder?
Aye.
Senator Vakian?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Let's see. Senator Vakian, will you carry it to the Senate? Representative Dingfelder, will you carry it to the House? Representative Nathanson, will you carry to the full?
Of course.
And with that, we are adjourned. We will be adjourned momentarily. I would like to close the work session. We might still have one more bill. We might not. So this might be the final meeting, and it may not.
You mean we might come back later today?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I know.
Okay.
And it might not even be a natural resources bill if we get one.
Oh, good.
Okay.